B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
A sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kyrie came in one day just to film. And again, it's not that Kyrie shows up late. He actually was the first one in film room. Walked up to Brad Stevens and said, Brad always, morning, good morning. What does government mean to you? That was Kyrie's good morning question. What does the word government mean to you? Not, hey, did you see that Laker game last night? Man, are they a mess. Not, how are we going to fix our ball screen coverage? Not, man, my knee feels great. Not, how are your kids? It was, what does the word government mean to you?
All right, I have my guess.
Okay. What do you think Brad Stevens said about Kyrie Irving?
Just asked, talk about him. Kyrie's gone. What's the question? What are your thoughts on the time you had with him? Was it something along those lines?
Yeah, Brad, what's your reaction to Kyrie leaving and going to the Nets and leaving the Celtics?
He's a tremendous player. He was a big part of everything that we did over here the last couple of years. And, I know there were... times when we all fell short of expectations and what we wanted to accomplish here, but wishing the best, and I've just got my own team to think about now.
I went with something very similar.
Okay,
wish Kyrie the best. You know, it was a good couple of years we had together here, and he had a tough decision to make, tough choice. He's a great competitor. Along those lines.
Okay.
Wish him the best.
How'd we do?
We nailed it.
Okay.
Which is to say, Brad Stevens said really nothing of substance on the topic last night at Summer League when it came to Kyrie Irving. As expected, nothing of real substance. He doesn't fault Kyrie for leaving this one. Now, here's Brad Stevens on that, not faulting Kyrie at all. I don't know who he faults. And maybe there is no fault for anyone. Brad Stevens, Celtics head coach.
You know, I think any time that you go through a year like we went through, where you don't necessarily meet expectations, on some years that might be a good year, but on others it's not. You know, I think there's probably going to be some change. And, you know, I don't fault him one bit for choosing to follow whatever he wants to do. That's his right.
It's pretty good. I think I said expectations.
You did. You said expectations.
Yeah,
you
good.
Nailed it.
All right, good.
We absolutely crushed this. These answers were so entirely predictable. They were so cookie cutter on Kyrie, which I think does say something about this. Okay? More on that in a moment. He also states that he doesn't know what they could have done to keep Kyrie, which I think there's some truth in this. Brad Stevens on that.
I don't know that there's anything anyone individually necessarily feels like they should have done or could have done. That's part of free agency. You can go wherever you want at the end of the day. I've said this before. I enjoyed Kyrie. I like Kyrie, and I wish him nothing but health and success.
Wish him nothing but health, success. That's the wishing him the best part.
Health, wealth, and happiness.
Yep. Wish him the best.
Good.
I don't know if there's anything we could have done to keep him. It's his right to make his choice.
Yep.
Wish him the best. This is part of the sport, part of the game. He reiterated some of these things about players making these choices when he talked about Al Horford, which he talked about. He was sort of short and brief on Al Horford as well. Actually, why don't we play that? Brad Stevens on Al Horford's departure.
Al was great here. We loved Al. We wanted him back. But, again, it's his choice. Like, he can go do whatever he wants to do, and there's a lot of factors that end up helping these guys make those decisions. But, you know, he's a heck of a player and did a great job here in the 3 years he was here.
That's it.
That's it.
That's all you got. What else are they going to say? The fact that he was so brief on Kyrie, can we read into that at all?
I think the less you say about a player after you leave, the more that you can probably glean that he wants to say. You know what I'm?
Yes.
Right? So if you just have a couple of things to say, man, he could probably talk for days about his time with Kyrie Irving. They're not going to say anything.
The less he says, the more it appears that he wants to be done with Kyrie.
Right. If you just want to go off on somebody or something, but you know you can't, what do you say instead? I'm not going to say anything. I'm just not going to say anything. And that's kind of his. That's got to be his attitude with Kyrie. If that story about him walking in and saying, "What does government mean to you?" is just the tip of the iceberg. If that's true, you know there was a lot more than that, and there was so much going on. Personality-wise, in addition to the basketball, in addition to the team chemistry and everything else that went into his years here. You know that Brad Stevens wants to just go off. But I think Brad is also really smart in knowing that the way players are bouncing around from team to team in this league now, there's a fairly good chance he could end up coaching Kyrie again. He's not going to say anything bad about Kyrie Irving. He's not going to say anything controversial about Kyrie Irving because Brad's a young guy. Kyrie could end up back in Boston, or Brad Stevens could end up coaching another team that has Kyrie Irving. You can't, you can't create any further amount of animosity, if any exists already, because you could very well end up coaching this guy again. But it's not his personality. He's not going to say anything about a guy once he's out the door.
Well, no, he's also going to look terrible if he does it. He's in a no win. He can't tell you honestly, if he wanted to rip the guy, he couldn't, even if he wanted to.
Right.
That would be a horrible look in this current league, the current culture of the league. A coach ripping a former player, that would never fly with his current players or any other player in the league. You can't do that now. It's just not allowed. So even if he wanted to do that, he wouldn't be able to, and I don't think that's what he wants to do. I don't think that's the type of guy that he is. We've never seen anything like that from him in his personality. Not his style. But the less that he says, the more it looks like he wants the break and the clean break and an end to the Kyrie era. And I also thought saying so little about Al was, in a way, telling. That was a brief answer about Al Horford. For a guy that he would speak at length about anytime we asked about Al Horford in all the interviews we've done with Brad Stevens over the last 3 years on this show, anytime Al Horford, his name came up, and I know it's different now because he's not playing for the Celtics anymore, and he's now a member of the 76ers. But there was no final glowing answer on Al Horford.
No, and
it was nice. It was very complimentary. Al's a great player for us, did a great job the last 3 years, but he made a choice like any other player can. Boom, done. We're done.
But for different reasons, at least from the way I saw things shake down, for Kyrie, there's probably a ton he wants to say and some great stories there and some things that he wants everybody to know. In terms of Al Horford, I think he was surprised by it.
Yeah, and don't you think he might be a little pissed off?
Like, yeah,
man, how did that happen?
And for lack of a better word, a little hurt by it.
Yes.
Really? You don't think we have a chance of winning here? We got Kemba Walker. Kyrie is gone, but we got Kemba. We still have the Brown and Tatum, and we've got Gordon Hayward is here, and he's going to be better. And you left? You left to go to Philadelphia? Left to go to that mess and that coach?
And don't you think that he feels burned by that, the whole coaching aspect?
Yes.
Man, you left me, and you're going to play for him?
Right. Does coaching mean nothing to you?
Yeah, right. And again, that's a coach that's viewing it through his lens and his lens only.
Mm-hmm.
As a coach and not viewing the rosters and every, you know, level of talent on the roster, but just I'm the coach of the team. I sort of run the team and I look at that operation and look at that coach and I look at myself and I know Brad Stevens is a very humble guy, but I hope when his head hits the pillow at night, he thinks he's a better head coach than Brett Brown.
Yeah.
I hope that's true. Yeah. He may never, ever, ever admit that publicly, but I hope he thinks that to himself because he is.
Or just knows that he is.
Because he is. I hope he knows that. I hope he feels that. I hope he admits it to himself and feels like, I don't know, he got burned a little bit by Al Horford leaving.
How can that not hurt your feelings a little bit?
I bet it does. It should. It would hurt my feelings if I were him.
Whatever ego he has, and I don't think Brad Stevens has much of one, but whatever ego he has, That's got to take a little bit of a shot. What? You're going? Really?
You're going to go play for him?
All right.
Of all the guys? We'll jump to your calls on Celtics and everything else from the day. There's also a new rule in the NBA that is laughable, and I can't wait to see it. There's going to be a new rule and a new way to challenge plays and challenge calls in the NBA next season. They approved it last night.
Yep.
It is amazing. We'll tell you all about it coming up next. Telephone number. Shams Charania tweeted last night. Sources: the NBA Board of Governors have passed the implementation of an in-game challenge flag for head coaches during the 2019-20 season. I'm sorry, what?
What sport?
That's right. You heard this right. There is a challenge flag. Now, there's a further update to this, which really ruined the story. They are actually not going to use a physical flag thrown on the court.
Oh!
It's going to be some sort of signal. But I want to know what the signal is. What is the signal going to be, if not a physical flag?
Quiet! Quiet! Quiet!
What are they going to do? In fact, the fact that they are now saying it's not going to be a flag... But when he put that tweet out last night, I lost it. I'm like, they're going to use flags? They're going to use a flag like the NFL. They're going to throw a challenge flag. And then I thought, well, if the idea is to use some sort of signal.
Quack, 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 quack.
No, no, no. Not a verbal signal. A physical signal. What is the physical signal you have to do?
I think... A flag.
Like, there's a physical signal for a timeout, right?
Right.
You make the T with your hands.
Right.
What do you do now? What is going to be the universal physical signal in sports for a challenge?
Challenge!
What is it?
The stupid baseball thing? Where they put... put the headset on.
Yeah.
This.
So you have to hit the side of your head with your hands?
Essentially. Yeah. I mean, isn't that what they do in baseball? The managers, after they hold everybody up for a minute... So the nerd in the video room can look?
Yeah,
it's that.
That's a horrible idea.
Go to the headset.
I think they should bring the flags in. Shams had it right. And I wanted to see Brad Stevens take his flag and tuck it into his sock, just like Bill Belichick. Or keep it in, like they wear suits in the NBA. Keep it right in his suit pocket.
Like
a weighted pocket square.
I think it should be a little army guy holding a sign that says challenge with a parachute attached to it.
You know, like the clown?
No.
He just keeps pulling it out.
It's a little parachute and a little army guy holding a sign that says challenge. You just throw that out and it floats down, but it only goes like 6 feet out onto the court.
I think it should be something really dramatic and over the top. Like how many challenges a game are they going to get? One? Two? How many challenges will there be? So there are going to be coaches' challenges.
What?
In the
okay,
NBA.
Per, challenge. According to Reynolds, according to Tim Reynolds of the
Tim
AP,
Reynolds, what's he say? One.
Each coach will get one challenge per game and can contest, quote, a personal foul charged to their team, a called out of bounds violation, a goaltending violation, or a basket interference violation.
I would love it if it were something completely ridiculous, like a cup full of glitter, you know. Like you get a little baggie full before the game.
You
put like a Ziploc bag of glitter in your pocket and you just throw it out onto the court and it goes everywhere. And then the guy who sweeps the sweat up has to come out with a broom and sweep it up during the challenge.
Like LeBron
there's gotta
with
be
the shock?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That, except it's glitter.
I think you hire Rip Taylor to be at the marquee games, the nationally televised games, and he comes out there and waves his little confetti wand. No, 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 challenge.
Doesn't the NBA have enough review in it?
Oh, my God.
Why does the NBA need more review?
Okay. All right. So
I thought this sport had review fully covered.
Seriously. Enough. Enough, NBA. My God, your games are unwatchable as it is. Why don't you get, you know what? While you're at it, in addition to adding the challenge, why don't you give each team another 20-second timeout that is really a 35, and give them another 30, which is really a minute long, and why don't you slow these games down some more? The timeouts in the NBA make it mind-numbing to watch. It is absolutely brutal. There's no more back and forth up and down the court toward the ends of at the end of a half or at the end of a game. There's no flow to these games at all. Zero. It's been sucked out completely. Unless you've got some harebrained coach on the sideline that uses up his timeouts or forgets that he has them. But for the most part, they all know and they all use them and they use every single one. And you can't get any kind of good back and forth down and back going on at the end of these games to begin with. And now you want to throw in a coach's challenge. A coach's challenge for the personal foul call or the charge. Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay, so once again, here they are. Personal foul charged to their team. Personal foul. You're going to challenge a personal foul? The ref says it's personal foul. Out of bounds violation, which they already do, and the refs already have the ability to go back and check a ton of those. The goaltending or the basket interference violation. The refs can already go and review stuff. What stuff are they gonna be able to challenge that the referees can't already review?
It's the personal fouls. They're gonna want to challenge a big foul late in the game.
Oh,
that's what this is gonna be. Every single big foul at the end of the game is going to be reviewed. It's going to be Zapruder filmed. And the end of these NBA games, Hardy, are going to get even longer and even more interminable. This is awful.
You're going to turn it into the end of NCAA tournament games, where the last minute of the game takes 15 minutes to play. I honestly wonder sometimes who is deciding on this and who and what brains they have among them when you're talking about the actual product that you're putting out there for the people in the stands, from the people watching on TV. Do you think this is going to make it better?
No way.
How many foul calls happen during a game where you're like, that's not a foul? It's just part of the game. At this point, we've just all accepted it. It's ridiculous the way this game is called or not called when it comes to the traveling call and the carrying. Oh, my God. Every decent ball handler in the league now carries the ball on every single possession. That's gone out the window. They don't even call that. They don't even bother to call that anymore. They added the steps, so I guess the travel is actually within limits now for the most part. But the personal fouls, it's always been a joke. It's going to continue to be a joke. You're going to give one coach each one challenge. You think that's going to fix how personal fouls are officiated in this game? Stop it. It's barely watchable to begin with the number of timeouts, the number of stoppages in play. You want to stop it even more? It's ridiculous. And here's the other thing that kills me about the NBA, Beetle. This is what really pisses me off more than anything else. When they go to review, it's not like they've got their little, you know, area set aside and they've gone, it's the official. It's like, no, let's walk over to the scorer's table. Let's turn this monitor around. No, hold on. I don't want to unplug this when we turn it around. And let's resituate this thing. It looks like a freshman in college setting up his dorm room entertainment system for the very first time. Never had to plug in an HDMI cable in his life. But now he's got to figure out how to get this thing turned around. This is the best you could do? You've already implemented official review in the NBA. You guys literally turning monitors around on the scores.
And now they're going to be throwing pocket squares onto the floor.
And now you're just going to add to the mess.
Pablo in Framingham, what do you think the signal will be?
Hey, what's up, fellas? So I'm just calling to let you guys know there is an official signal that the coaches will make, and it's actually already implemented in the league. And once I say it, you'll already see it. I'm sure there's, like, Brad Stevens, like, gifts all over online showing it. But it's just a finger twirl that you do with the index finger where it's kind of like, hey, review the play. The, like, universal NBA signal for review the play, that finger twirl that everyone does whenever something happens and everyone is, like, mortified by the decision. That is the official, like, signal that's going to happen.
The finger twirl?
Stick your middle finger up in the air and just do this. That's it.
This is review?
That's the review.
That's the, like, rewind?
Review?
Review it now! No, I need something more dramatic and flamboyant, quite frankly, for the glitz and glam to match this league. Especially with L.A. L.A. is going to be the epicenter of basketball now. We need something that matches Hollywood. That's what we need.
I can't believe they're going to stop these games even more.
Needs to be a visual. Stop it. We need a visual. A visual, Tom. Some sort of visual for this.
Maybe like a banner captain flag. Wave it.
Yes.
Every team's mascot has to be responsible for waving the challenge flag. So Lucky will actually come out for a home game.
So it's just like, you know, but your standard 3 foot by 5 foot flag of your team's logo will be next to the bench, and Brad Stevens will have to grab it and start waving the Celtics flag violently to get the ref's attention. That could work. I wouldn't be opposed to that. Be a great sight. Something to stop the game.
And then
when the guys are really going to hammering it onto the floor as they march out into play. It might slow things down, you think?
This might slow down games,
yeah, no
but
kidding.
It will help to get things right and keep the focus on the players.
Oh, gee, no kidding.
No, it's going to put more focus on the officials. You're out of your gourd. This is not what this does.
I like this call on this line three. Ernie, Hardy sounds like an old white guy who's mad about kids on his lawn. Yeah, but what does that have to do about NBA replay? McTankey has the headlines. We got open lines for you as well. We'll get back to your calls next.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Andre's in Waltham today. Andre, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Before I do my summer league take, I wanted to say the best news that I've heard all day today about the Celtics was the Celtics finally swallowing their pride and realizing that Gershon Yabusele wasn't an actual NBA player and waived him. So that let's get that out of the way, that happened. And then second, the summer league hype, Taco Fall, I think he sucks. I love Carson Edwards. That guy is a walking bucket. I'm so excited for him. I love Grant Williams' IQ and Tremont Waters' IQ. Do you guys think that will transition to the NBA, or is this all summer league hype?
Okay, I don't know. I don't know yet on Carson Edwards, but I'll tell you this. Carson Edwards has a whole hell of a lot more of a chance of playing in the NBA than Taco Fall does. A lot more, because his ability and skills are definitely more translatable to playing in the league. Okay? And I know that he was second round pick. He was the first pick of the second round, right?
Yeah.
Is that what he was? He was high second round pick. Anyway, he could work out. Like, that's, again, you don't expect it to, you don't know if it will. But that would not surprise me. Like, that could turn into an NBA player. That could be a bench guy in the NBA. Taco, I don't think that's going to work out. I don't think he's going to end up being an NBA guy. And I'm not basing that on summer league. I'm basing on having watched him in college. So that's where I'm coming from on that.
I just think it's difficult for anybody of that size, of that height, without the girth to back it up, to play in that position in the NBA. You got to be able to bang bodies down low, and he's not built for that. He's not Manute Bol. You know, he's not a complete spindle, but, you know, what is it that succeeds in the NBA today? A big man, sure, as long as you have an outside shot to go with it. I have no idea what his shooting is like. He's really tall. He's really tall, and he's down there, and it's, you know, it's a valuable piece for the game. Does it translate into the 2019 NBA game? Not as much. Not as much as it would have 10 years ago. It'll be fun to watch him in summer league. And if there is ever a time, this is the only thing I fall back on, Beetle, if there is ever a time for the Celtics in their immediate future, to take a chance with something like this, this would probably be the season. Because I don't think they're getting out of the East. And even if they do, you're not beating any one of two, probably three teams in the West. Don't even worry about it. You want to see what he performs like on an NBA level? If he continues to improve in summer league and he shows you something in Maine, there's a chance. There's a chance he sees some action.
Brandon's in Boston. Hi, Brandon.
Hey, how you guys doing? I just want to. I heard you guys talk about Brad Stevens, and I think you guys are wrong. I think he's actually happy. Actually, a breath of fresh air that Al Horford and Kyrie's gone. Now, if I'm Brad Stevens, I look at Al Horford as an aging giant. Always breaks down, knee problems. Let's move on from Kyrie. A bad locker room presence. Let's move on from him. And with the new acquisitions that the Celtics have, I think they're in a better space of thinking. So I think they're in a better place right now. I think Brad Stevens has something to look forward to. He got some nice talent, young talent that he could develop and compete. So I think Brad Stevens is actually in a better place.
All right, you might be able to sell somebody on that on Kyrie. You can't sell that on Al Horford. Sorry, you can't do it.
It may be nicer to come to work at the beginning of the season when you don't have, Looney Tunes over there talking about the government. And maybe...
No, if Al Horford were still here, you might be able to sell me on, hey, Brad Stevens is looking at his team and he feels better about his team with Kemba Walker than with Kyrie because he doesn't feel he took that much of a step backward at point guard. And he's got Kemba here and he believes the team can go deeper with Kemba versus Kyrie. You might be able to sell that. Feels he's got a better team, better makeup of a team. He feels like Kemba could be a better fit than Kyrie. You could sell me on all of that, right? You can't sell it without Al. You can't do it.
Yeah. Hook Brad Stevens up to the truth serum and say, would you rather be starting this upcoming season with the roster you have now or last year's roster all over again? He'll take last year's roster all over again. No, we can do better. We can do better with Gordon Hayward, who's going to be that much healthier, a year removed now from the injury, another year removed from the injury. You're going to have another shot at seeing the ascension of Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, and I would like another crack at figuring things out with Kyrie Irving and these guys. Give me another shot with this team. There's no way he is, you hook him up to the sodium pentothal and he would say, nope, this is going to be better this year. This is going to be a more enjoyable experience and we're going to have a better chance at success with this squad that we're going to have out on the court. There's no chance he feels that way. Any coach worth his salt would say, give me another crack with this team. Damn it, I screwed it up here, and here. I would have done this differently. Give me another shot with those guys. Of course he would. But that talent, that crew, yes, that's what he would wish for.
Ben's in Newton. Hi, Ben. Ben, you there?
Oh, yeah.
What's your idea for the challenge signal in the NBA?
All right. Well, here's the thing. It's got to be something that's worthy of the whole comedy that is NBA officiating, right?
Yeah.
So I'm thinking audio, not visual, right?
Okay.
It's got to be something like a noise. So at first I thought a bullhorn.
Quack,
right?
Quack.
But then I thought, why not one of those bullhorns, right? We squeeze the trigger, mm-hmm. makes this massive squawk, and then you can actually say into the bullhorn, review, review, review. How about that?
So you want to get like the Jim Murray, the big Jim horn, like,
the megaphone.
Megaphone, review, review, review. That call started with a lot of promise. I thought he had something there.
Promise because T-Bone dropped in the quai.
Quai! Quai!
Just audio gold.
Again, that's a man running from a bear. A bear.
I don't know that he ran.
A bear attack that he survived.
If I'm remembering the video correctly, he sat still and expected to scare off the bear just by yelling "quack" as the bear charged.
Did he survive the bear attack? Yes or no?
We'll find out.
He survived.
He uploaded the video, so yeah.
Yeah, he survived. Yes, he did. See the picture of the bear at the Mount Washington Resort that was published today in the Globe?
What was he doing up there?
Watching the sunset.
Oh,
sunrise, excuse me. He was watching the sunrise.
Mm.
On the balcony at the resort. 617-779-0985. Baseball's All-Star game was last night. We're about 2 hours and 45 minutes into this show. We haven't mentioned it yet. All right, we'll give it a quick mention, if you don't mind. Quick mention on the All-Star game, because Justin Verlander got chewed out by Major League Baseball behind the scenes yesterday at the All-Star game. We'll give you the details about who did the chewing out, because they had one of their own do it, and then they called in reinforcements. A former manager of Justin Verlander's came into the room to help do it. We'll tell you who it was next.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
A lot of talk about the baseball. Strong things to say yesterday. The commissioner today said that MLB has not ordered the balls to be altered and that the owners do not want more home runs. So, in your opinion, what should the next step be?
Well, I mean, if that's the case, then we can work together and just try to figure this out. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, they set the drags down on the ball, but they can't figure out why. Look, I mean, the whole thing here is, you know, everybody's using the same ball. That's not what I'm not upset about that. It's just, you know, we're trying to be like, they're trying to do the same thing we are, they say. And so then if that's the case, then we can all figure this thing out.
Hey, now, you're an all-star. Get your game on. Go play. Hey, now, you're a rock star. Get the show on. Get
So if you heard that interview last night, McTakey, you heard the interview. You watched the All-Star game.
Had it on in the background.
Yeah, right, of course.
I did.
Yeah. So if you caught that interview and you heard his answer right there, you're like, what happened to you being all piss and vinegar about the baseballs, buddy? The tone certainly changed, didn't it?
Yeah, very, very diplomatic, I would say, last night
didn't
from Justin Verlander.
Change a little bit from the quotes we read from you a day ago? What happened, Justin? What happened? Well, we've got our answer. They read him the Riot Act. Baseball, that is. Baseball went after Justin Verlander. And they were not happy with him going public with his grievances about the baseballs. Verlander got chewed out by Joe Torre before the game. Joe Torre, of course, works in Major League Baseball's headquarters, front office, if you will. It's MLB's chief baseball officer. That's Joe Torre's title. So he
kind of I had forgotten about that.
Chief of baseball,
yeah.
Chief of baseball, Joe Torre, rips Verlander, chews him out, but he wasn't alone. According to Jason Stark of The Athletic, they brought in reinforcements. Former Detroit Tigers manager Jim Leland.
Ooh. The Marlboro Man. Oh.
Excuse me, young man. What'd you have to say about them baseballs?
Uh-huh. Jim Leland, who should scare the hell out of anybody. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Jim Leland, who's been around the block. Of course, Leland, long time. Major League manager. Pirates. Marlins. And then Tigers for a while, including his time with Justin Verlander. And they brought Leland in, and I'm guessing it's because of Leland's personal connection to Justin Verlander that they brought Leland in. And Leland was on the side of baseball in this, and I'm guessing that Leland's message, even if he agreed with Verlander, that Leland's message was, you don't air the grievance publicly. If you got an issue, you take it directly to the source. You take it directly to the people in charge. And so that's why last night, when Ken Rosenthal is interviewing Justin Verlander in game, he was singing a different song when he got asked about the baseballs. He clammed up a little bit on the topic. Oh, well, everyone's using the same baseballs. play his answer again, Tebow. Why don't you? Why don't you play his answer one more time?
A lot of talk about the baseball.
No.
You had some strong things to say yesterday.
No. He said no. What is that? No, no, no.
A lot of talk about the baseball.
Who's talking about the baseball?
No. There hasn't been a lot of talk about. I don't know what you're talking about. Baseballs? What baseballs? This guy. Who's baseballs? What? No.
It's a baseball.
What? No. No.
A lot of talk about the baseball. Strong things to say yesterday. The commissioner today said that MLB has not ordered the balls to be altered and that the owners do not want more home runs. So, In your opinion, what should the next step
I don't
be?
Even. Well, I mean, if that's the case, then we can work together and just try to figure this out. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, they set the drags down on the ball, but they can't figure out why. Look, I mean, the whole thing here is, you know, everybody's using the same ball. That's not what I'm not upset about that. It's just, you know, we're trying to be like, they're trying to do the same thing we are, they say. And so then if that's the case, then we can all figure this thing out.
Well, we'll all get together. We'll all work through this together. We're all on the same page. We're working through this.
Kumbaya.
You know? We're all in this. We're going to work through this together.
By the way, as much as he sounds like a guy.
Oh my God. He sounds terrified to say the wrong thing in the back of his mind. He's like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I can't piss off Leland. Oh my God, he is going to put a cigarette out on my forehead if I say the wrong thing here in this interview. Oh my God. No. We're all done on the same page. On the same page.
Hey, Beetle, would you want to get chewed out by Joe Torre either?
No.
I don't want to get chewed out by either one of them.
And then you bring in Leland to close the thing out.
Oh God. Who is the third guy? There's a third guy in the room that is not named in the story. Who do you think the third guy was? So three of them are in there.
Sam Elliott.
Three of them took Justin Verlander to task behind closed doors.
Sam Elliott
before the game yesterday afternoon in Cleveland. They pulled Verlander in a room. Justin. Like to have a word with you.
No.
Torrey's behind the desk. Leland's standing behind him, ripping a butt. He thinks he's all done getting chewed out, and then from the back corner of the room, Elliot's back there.
Listen, I know these are the things you think about when darkness washes over you at the end of the night, but I'm telling you, too much thinking is a bad thing. Throw the ball. Go home. Keep your mouth shut.
Okay. Jesus. What a change. What a 180. That is awesome. To think that a guy like a Verlander's stature, like physically, professionally, everything, right? Guy's got Kate Upton waiting for him, you know, when he finishes playing his games at night. He can go into an office, get chewed out, and have his total persona changed by Joe Torre and Jim Leland. By the way, he owes his... I don't know what Garrett Cole had to do with this, but at the very beginning of one of these pieces...
Oh, Garrett Cole was the source on this.
Right. He says...
Verlander got pulled in there. He came out of there white as a ghost.
He was the one who told Verlander that they wanted to talk to him. And he said, I may actually have facilitated that meeting. I saw Jim and Joe were in Cora's office, and they said hi. Then Jim, in not a profanity-laden way, said, get Justin in here right now. So I came out and go, hey, Skip wants to see you. And he said, okay. And he comes back and goes, man, I just got chewed out. So Garrett Cole thinks that he made the cardinal rule of making eye contact with either Leland or Torre or both when he walked past the open office door. And that's like, hey, say, that reminds me. Get that other yahoo Astros pitcher in here. I want to talk to him. Dumb son bitch. Keep your mouth shut, son.
Whew. Wow.
The saloon door comes swinging open.
And out comes Verlander, literally thrown through the doors.
It's fantastic.
Leland, what the hell was Leland doing there?
Well, thank you. Why was he there?
Who knows? He just appears when they need him.
He's retired, retired.
No, he's retired.
Got nothing going on.
He's in his 70s, man. He's retired. Joe Torre, it's like the old guy manager's club. Jim, going to need you at the All-Star game. I'll be there. Jim Leland's a guy they still let smoke on the airplanes because no one's going to tell him not to.
They let him smoke in hospitals.
I think he's one of the last guys they were still letting like smoke in the dugouts. Right? Who's going to tell him not to?
Oh, yeah. The tobacco policy did not apply to him.
Well, yeah. Before they...
Legs crossed in the dugout.
Before they settled on Alex Cora, people were talking about, get Jim Leland in here. I'm like, Jim Leland ain't adhering to no tobacco policy in any ballpark now.
No. Nope.
Forget it. He's not doing it. My favorite Jim Leland thing was somebody wrote an article about him once about, you know, how they all have computers on their desk now. Jim Leland's computer is a small notepad and a golf pencil. Like, no eraser on there. Just give me a stubby little golf pencil and a notepad. That's how I do my lineups. That's where I take down my notations. There's my computer.
There's my computer. That's my Carmine. That's how it went. You want to know why Justin Verlander was speaking real fast and trying to avoid the topic last night on television? He got reamed by a tag team of Joe Torre and Jim Leland.
It's fantastic.
No.
No. No. No. No. No. The baseballs? No. No.
Well, they say the drag. Shut up about the drag.
Shut up drag. About the drag, kid. 617-779-0985. Some more thoughts on baseball. The 1999 All-Star Game 20 years ago this week. And Mookie Betts didn't even get an at-bat in the All-Star Game last week. I want to tie those two together for you, if you don't mind, in 90 seconds.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.